I'm Ava Hartling. Welcome back to the Brand is Female podcast.
This season of our podcast is brought to you by TD Bank Group Women in Enterprise. TD helps women in business achieve success and growth through its program of educational workshops, financing, and mentorship. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to find out how TD can help you.
This week, my guest is Roxane Duval, founder of Alea. Spurred by a noticeable gap in the availability of eco-friendly menstrual products in public spaces, Roxane launched Alea in 2022 to address this issue head-on. Her company uniquely offers entirely organic and biodegradable tampons and pads. Roxane has also pioneered a turnkey solution for businesses wanting to provide these essential items to their employees, aligning with the new federal regulations mandating free menstrual products in the workplace since December of last year. In today's episode, we explore how Alea's products have rapidly made their way into over 400 company washrooms across Canada, including notable firms and government institutions. And we'll talk about Roxane's ongoing initiatives to expand this much-needed service into educational settings, not to mention how the company addresses period stigma. Join us as we discuss the transformative impact of such inclusive workplace practices and the future Roxane envisions for menstrual health accessibility. Roxane, it's such a pleasure having you on The Brand is Female today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me. Such an honor to be here.
Thank you. It's an honor to have you on the show. I love the brand you've started. I can't wait to get into all of the insights around your path to launching it. But as you know, because you've listened to episodes in the past, I start these conversations by going back in time with my guests. And I'd love to know, in your case, growing up, what kind of career were you picturing for yourself? What were you dreaming of doing later in life at that point?
I think that I always knew that I wanted to build something, to be an entrepreneur and to have no limitations in terms of what I could achieve. I've been raised by a family of entrepreneurs for multiple generations. So I was very lucky because I think when you grow up with that mindset that you can achieve whatever you want, if you work hard enough, I think it's a blessing. So I was definitely raised with that in mind. However, I had no idea of what I would be doing, what I would be building. I think it was just a lot of different circumstances that led me to building Alea today.
And you've mentioned, so your dad was an entrepreneur, right? And it's something like kind of that business mindset is something he instilled in you at an early age.
Yeah, so my grandfather was an entrepreneur. He built a textile manufacturing plant in his village. And then my dad was also an entrepreneur. And when I was really young, I remember my dad, like during our summer at the cottage, he wanted me to learn the basics of business. So we would go at the dollar store, for instance, buy some, you know, flower pots, and then we would go and cut some wild flowers. And then we would go door to door and ask the neighbor if they wanted to buy our flowers. And he was like, okay, listen, Roxane, we pay our pot $1 and then you go and cut the flowers and then we sell them for $4 and then you just did a profit. So I was like 6 or 7 years old. But it's just to give you an idea of the mindset, you know.
Perfect education to business and the entrepreneurial lifestyle. And I mean, you obviously had very close role models around you, but who else was a source of inspiration for you? And were there any women role models along the way that also inspired you?
Well, I just think I was lucky to have a really good network of people that always believed in me, no matter what ideas I had. I think I wrote like 100 business plans in my life. I always had a different idea. I had my notebook and I was always writing different ideas or opportunity, sharing them with my friends, with my family. And never they told me, no, it's a bad idea. They always told me, if you believe in it, just go for it and we'll
support
you.
You'll make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. And also, of course, listening to a lot of podcasts growing up helped me a lot to hear what other women entrepreneurs have built. And that inspired me a lot throughout my journey.
Love to hear that, obviously. Yes. You studied marketing, and was that with the goal of, being part of a brand, working on brand strategy? Because before becoming an entrepreneur, I know you worked in a corporate world first.
Yes. Well, I'm a very creative person. So marketing was kind of the most creative aspect of business. So I think that's why I chose marketing. And throughout my studies, I realized the power of branding. And that was something very exciting for me, because you can basically change the perceptions of people through marketing and through a strong marketing campaign. So I did my bachelor in marketing and then decided to bring it to the next level and went to do a master's degree in luxury brand management, because the luxury and fashion world was very interesting to me back then. So I did that in Europe for a couple of years. And then I got recruited by L'Oreal for a position in the digital luxury space in Montreal. So I worked on a couple of brands. And this is where I really realized the power of building a brand and the entire customer experience that went with it. It was truly formative years for me. And then I quit L'Oreal to start my first business, a distribution company in jewelry. So it was a Scandinavian line that we decided to bring to North America. And we have developed the wholesale, the retail, and the online for that brand. And my work, my job was a little bit similar to what I did at L'Oreal. So take, you know, a branding that exists with products that exist, but adapt it to my market. And I sold it. I sold it 3 years after starting it. But it was really a great experience too.
And I know you started that company with a partner. So what made you want to exit and sell the company?
Yeah. So, as you know, business partnership can be very tricky. When you start a partnership with someone you don't know, there's the honeymoon phase that you call, where you're super excited about, you know, your the power that you can have together on building a business. But as you grow this partnership, sometimes you realize that the values and the vision are not the same. And it's extremely difficult to build a business if you're not aligned with the decision makers. 100%. Like, if your values are not the same, if you don't value your employees or like the mental health of your employees the same way that your business partner does, it's very difficult to build a solid business. So for me, I had to choose between, you know, just mental well-being or like continue that toxic business relationship. So I decided to sell my share, and I knew that this money would definitely serve to build my second business, and that my second business would definitely be like a good representation of me and my values. And that would be my number one priority, to stick to my values and stick to what I believe in.
It's interesting, because it could have been, you know, really, and it's always hard to have to make that kind of decision, move away from something you've built from the ground up. It could have been, you know, kind of a very tough moment, and, you know, not seeing what you're going to do next. And I know some women entrepreneurs go through that after an exit. Sometimes there's that period of questioning about what they want to do next. And it's not always an easy time. And then I believe that was just before COVID, right? So a lot changed in your life at that time.
A lot changed. It was a very stressful moment for me, because we had more than 300 wholesalers across the country, a couple of retail stores. And at the beginning of COVID, we thought that it would be like an Asia problem at the beginning. So we were like, oh, we need to buy more stuff because production will stop for a couple of months. But like, big surprise, that was not, you know, only the case. So it came here, and we were like, so what are we doing now? Because all our receivables are frozen, the stores are closed. Are we keeping people on the payroll? Like, so all that extra stress, plus the conflict that we had internally, it was a very stressful moment, but I learned a lot from that episode of my life, that's for sure.
I think that was, again, I hate to use the word silver lining, but I think COVID was kind of that transformational experience for, you know, a lot of women in business. And I know there were changes in your personal life as well. So tell me about what happened next.
Yeah. So after that chaos happened, I really took a step back to reflect on, you know, what do I want in life? what's my next big step? Because I just lost like a baby, right?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It was my first business.
Yeah.
So I actually became pregnant. So that was my new baby. A new baby was on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And then I gave birth in 2021.
Oh, and my right in there.
Yeah, right in there, COVID baby. And my whole life changed because I identified myself as an entrepreneur, as a business person. And
right.
Now all of a sudden I had no more business. I had a baby. I was a mom. I was not sleeping. You know, my hormones were all over the place. So my identity was like, who am I now? So it was a lot of change, and we couldn't talk and we couldn't see anyone during COVID. Everything was closed out, right? So, I mean, I had a lot of time to reflect on my life and what were the next step for me. And it's actually during that period that I had my idea for Alea. You know, when I rediscovered the beauty of having our period after a year and a half not having them anymore, I realized that, like, I questioned the experience so much. Mm. I was like, what ingredient am I putting inside my body?
Mm-hmm.
No one ever told me that this was important. You know,
yeah.
We look at the ingredient in the food. We look at the ingredient in our clothing, in our skincare, in our makeup, but never in my period products. Why?
And
because no one told us to.
Yeah. And it's something that's even, you know, to closer to our bodies and in an area that's highly absorbent. So the risks are, you know, even almost greater. And you're right. We just grew up assuming that what was offered to us was just the only option and a safe option. And nobody ever warned us about what were in those products.
Exactly. So I start reading about it and realized that there was a bunch of synthetic fibers, non-organic cotton that was treated with pesticides, herbicides, a lot of different plastics as components. And in fact, there are more and more research out there saying that it is hurtful for the body, that it can have a negative impact on the body. And actually, in the States, there was the Tampon Act that just was launched a couple of weeks ago, basically to reduce the forever chemicals in period products. So it is a very actual problematic right now. So that was one. So the ingredient in the product. The second thing was guilt associated with single-use plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So the amount of plastic we're throwing into the environment, and that's not by choice, it's by lack of options. Like, most period products are made out of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
The third problematic that I saw with having our period was accessibility. So when you step outside your home, still today, it's very hard to find period products, either at the workplace, either at school, or public restroom.
Mm-hmm.
So either you will see a very old machine that you need to insert coins in it, and it's probably
who has coins now? Like, I haven't seen a coin in years.
Same. Like, who has coins? And also, like, even if you have one, like, I don't want to touch the product that is in it because it's probably been there for a while.
It might even be decades, yes.
Yes. And then the fourth problematic was, how come the branding experience is so poor?
Yeah.
I come from the L'Oreal world,
mm-hmm.
where skincare and makeup is like crazy branding experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before getting my Sephora order, I'm so excited about it. The packaging looks amazing. So I was like, how come when you go and buy period products at the pharmacy, you are so shy? You put it under your coat. You want to hide it. It's terrible, like pink, yellow flowers. So I was like, we can do better. Like, we're menstruated for like 36 years of our life on average.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we deserve better. So I knew I had my business at that point.
For sure, 100%. And I think the challenge is twofold with the kind of the shame and embarrassment around, you know, picking up a period product, that it's horrible branding. And even toothpaste now, you know, we have designer toothpaste. But it's also, there's still stigma. There's still a bias around, people are not supposed to know that I have my period. Like, it's a secret.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know, I'm a 40 something year old woman, and I can't show people on the street that I'm carrying tampons.
That's
we hide the tampon in our sleeve when we go to the washroom.
Yes.
Like, what?
But
you're right.
The
branding doesn't help because it's not a pretty product to show.
The branding doesn't help, and the education around it doesn't help, because period brands that we know, you know, Tampax of this world, advertising is always a around, oh, it's slick, you can hide it in your pocket while you're going to the restroom. Yeah. But no, like, we should embrace period. It means that your body is healthy, actually, and you should celebrate it.
Even in ads, right, they use blue liquid. We never see something that's red or pink. And I was reading recently, it's only in the last few years that scientists started testing anything that's period related with actual blood. They were doing all of the scientific medical testing using any type of liquid.
It's an industry that just didn't evolve like at all. And since the beginning, it's just very stagnant. And I feel like it's not operated enough by women or people with their menstruation that really know what it is to experience menstruation. So we are, you know, we're trying to be advocate of like being proud about our period, educating people about the impact that it can have on their body, on the planet, and also on certain issues such as period poverty. It is a reality in Canada. Like, still it's a woman out of four has already experienced period poverty in Canada. Like, this means, are you paying your rent or are you buying period products?
Right. And they're very expensive, especially with inflation.
They are very expensive. So for us, it was also important to have an impact on the community as well. So I've also incorporated 2% donation model to give back period products to different nonprofit organizations. So again, like, building a business based on your values and on the vision. The vision of the brand is to make clean and sustainable period product more accessible. Like, that's my vision, and I'm proud of the vision because it aligns with my values.
Love that. This season of The Brand is Female is made possible with the support of TD Women in Enterprise. And they're about confidently building you. As a woman entrepreneur myself, I know I need all the support I can get. It takes sound advice plus guidance to the right connections, tools, and resources. What's great about TD services for women in business is their collaborative approach. TD can facilitate and connect you to workshops, coaching, and mentorship, and they engage other like-minded business leaders in an authentic way, so we can share experiences and learn from each other. TD Women in Enterprise has banking specialists who are able to be proactive in the advice and guidance they give to women in business. And tell me about launching the brand. And, you know, there's a few players kind of, you know, coming out with alternative options in the in the general industry, but your play from the start was also banking on the fact that corporations are going to have to increasingly provide period products in washrooms for the employees. I'm curious to know as well, how did you line up manufacturers that would make these products for you?
Yeah, so it took us a full year to go to market. So it was a long time to put everything together. So I was seeing that a lot of different countries and states were starting to put regulation to make period products more accessible, either at school or in businesses. For me, it was a no-brainer that businesses have a role to play in terms of accessibility of period products and to make the workplace a more fair and, you know, equal place. So it was important for me to develop a turnkey solution for companies to make it very easy for them to implement this initiative. So that was kind of the initial business model. And then I had to find the products that were made from only organic cotton, that were not treated with different chemicals, plastic-free. So all the ingredients must be natural ingredients or a bioplastic made out of natural ingredients like corn for us.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And, you know, biodegradable applicators for tampons. So I did a lot of research to finally find two manufacturers that were willing to support me in putting that project together, because the industry is dominated by big players that own their manufacturing plant. So it's very hard to compete against big players that dictates pricing.
For sure.
So it was a risk, but at the same time, I just felt like it was so right that I just, you know, in my gut, I knew that I had to do it and tried to have an impact on that industry. So I was lucky enough to find these manufacturers. We agreed on a certain, you know, minimum order for the first orders, but then the business picked up so quickly because there was the federal regulation that was announced in May, right?
Right.
So starting in December 15 in Canada, all federally regulated enterprise had to provide tampons and pads at the workplace. So all of a sudden, 500,000 employees across the country would have access to free period products. So that was perfectly lined up when I launched the business. So that enabled me to go and get some really big players in the industry like banks. And that made me look like a legit supplier after pursue my business, because now I had a couple of national banks with a national footprint. In only 4 months of operation, we were in 1,100 corporate bathroom.
Amazing.
So basically the impact is over 25,000 menstruators having access to clean and sustainable period products. So they didn't like purchase conventional period products. They went with organic and plastic free.
And a women-owned company.
Women-owned company and Canadian-owned company, because most brands are not local as well.
Tell me about how you're managing growth. It's always, when I speak to entrepreneurs on this show, the first few years are a roller coaster and rapid growth, as you experience as a result of the federal law being passed, is obviously a wonderful blessing, but I know it comes with challenges as well. So how is that going for you? And what are some of these, you know, tougher things or obstacles that you are getting through as you are, you know, taking the company to its next phase?
So I was lucky enough to sell my first business. So I was the one who pushed my cash in it at the beginning. So I was lucky because I didn't have to borrow and pitch
Good
a concept.
You. Yeah.
I was able to start borrowing when I had actually POs coming in.
Amazing.
So that's a very good position to be in. And to all women and people starting a business, I think that trying to leverage your circle as much as possible, you know, love money is something that can really help at the beginning. Or interest-free loan from, you know, your family and friends if they believe in your projects. Then I think something that is important is going to the different accelerators and incubators around, you know, your local community. They offer grants, or when you have PO, they can finance your PO. So try to stay as much as possible in that debt, you know, line of credit debt. And then my challenge is to try to grow as much as possible without going necessarily through investors, VC, and give equity away at the beginning, right? Because the value of the business is not as much. So giving out equity yet. So giving out equity at the beginning is tricky. However, I do have big ambition and I want to scale Alea to another level. So it will be on my radar to start raising money and capital at some point. But I think if you can keep as much possible equity at the beginning while you're scaling the business and, you know, growing your footprint, I think it's a good strategy to do as much as possible.
And tell me about how you're managing, you know, growing the team, growing resources. And I'm sure as you are experiencing that growth, there are additional needs. You sell direct to consumer, you know, on your website, you have clients that you need to supply. So how do you manage growing the infrastructure as you grow the business?
Yes. So I started the business alone. However, we just announced a new business partner. So Marco is my life partner and now, you know, business partner, and
two in one,
and he's in charge of owning the operation, logistic, IT, and to make sure that I have the support I need to scale the business and bring it to another level. So operation is crucial. It's key to have a very like good system in place and also have the space to grow. So we just opened a new warehouse that give us the flexibility to grow the business rapidly and have a lot of inventory stored there. Because when you close a customer like a bank, you don't have two chances. You need to prove that you're able to deliver when they need you, because they will not do business with you if something goes wrong.
Right.
So for us, putting a lot of inventory aside, making sure that we have the supply we need to hit our growth projection is something that we put a lot of energy in. And we prefer scaling at a consistent growth, but be very good with all of our partners and give the best service and always be there when they need products. So that's kind of my vision to have a sustainable business growth.
I love that. Very smart outlook. How do you recruit staff? How do you select, you know, who gets, besides your new business slash life partner, how do you select team members? And I know sometimes it can be challenging for companies that are still, you know, in their early phases of growth. You're still small, you're growing at a fast pace. That startup environment is not an obvious fit just for any employee. So talk to me a little bit about building your team.
So being in the startup is not for everyone, and I completely understand why. It's a bit of a craziness, but I was lucky enough to have people coming directly to me and telling me, Rox, when you're ready to scale the business and hire people, I'm there for you because I believe in the vision. I believe in your values, and I want to have an impact because I believe that this is a pivotal moment in our society to give access to period products to menstruators. So for them, it was kind of so aligned with their vision and their values that they want to come in and have an impact. So right now we are 4 full-time employees, but of course we have a lot of people outside the organization that support Alea as well. But I was lucky enough to have people in my network come to me. But eventually I will need to find other strategy to recruit some people. And of course, like, not offer like a big salary. So
yeah,
they need to believe in your growth and know that they will be rewarded as you grow.
Because
that's super important to make sure that you reward the people that were there for you from the beginning.
And that's, I think for some employees, that is very rewarding. And, you know, that is, it brings that sense of purpose and being part of this exciting adventure alongside you, the founder.
Exactly.
What's your definition of leadership? How do you view yourself as a leader?
I want to make sure that people feel on their X when they're at Alea, because when you're on your X, this is when you perform the best, and this is when you are the best version of yourself. For me, when I was not on my ex in an organization, in a corporation, you felt it in, you know, my result and also in the way I was being at work. So when people feel like they have a purpose and that they're doing what they're really good at doing, that's kind of the secret weapon to build an amazing team. So as a leader, that's what I'm trying to find, and that's what I'm trying to do to support my team, to make sure that they're doing what they really want to be doing and that they see purpose and meaning in what they're doing every day for Alea.
What are some of the milestones that you're working towards? What's on the vision board for the next year? And obviously you have a new partner who's coming in and handling some important pieces of the business, but what are things you're looking forward to achieving?
Yeah. So in terms of corporate bathrooms or schools bathroom, we are now in 100, but we would like to be in 10,000 bathroom across the country in the next 2 years. And in terms of our vision to make clean and sustainable period product more accessible, we would like to actually be in a couple of retail locations to make sure that we have access to these products, because right now still it's very hard to find these products on the shelf. You need to go in specialized stores. It's kind of hitting somewhere in the corner, but we want to make it very accessible. So we actually just got accepted in Sobeys, Rachel Berry, and IGEA. So I think that's great news to start, you know,
Making
them accessible in that banner, in these banners.
Yeah.
So that's a step one. So that's kind of a milestone, I guess.
it sure is. Yeah. Congratulations for reaching that. We are airing this episode during the month of April. Obviously Earth Day is a focus. And I love speaking to, you know, women entrepreneurs who generally are in business to do good. I mean, the stats show that more women go in business to do good compared to men, although there's some amazing, you know, male-led companies that do great things around sustainability. This was always a priority for you, in addition to healthier products for the human, also making period products better for the planet. How does that commitment translate, and you know, how do you kind of measure the impact you're having?
Yeah, so I really wanted to have you know, an option that was better for the body and better for the planet. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the planet, the difference between the conventional period products and Alia period products is that we have kind of like removed all the petroleum plastic components inside our products.
Amazing.
So we can make sure that all our products are biodegradable. Mm-hmm. And not biodegradable in 500 to 800 years like conventional period products, but biodegradable in the pads, for instance, are biodegradable in 90 days, which is a big difference.
Absolutely.
And then the tampons are only made with organic cotton inside and a cardboard biodegradable applicator. So it is a big difference from, you know, the standard plastic tampon applicator that I have used like all my
life
before Alia. And like when you think about it, you insert it for a second, but it takes 800 years to biodegrade. And in a life of a menstruator using disposable period products, they will use on average 12,000 period products throughout their life, because
Incredible.
We are in our period for an average of 36 years, 12 times a year, right? So it's a lot. Like, we don't question, but it's a lot of impact. And guess what? We're 50-50 on the planet. So, and we're just like growing in population.
Yeah. So I'm just picturing all these plastic applicators, you know,
The beach in the water.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. It's really bad for the environment, but since it's a medical device and that people need it, there's not much regulation around it.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
We're banning like plastic in the food industry,
plastic
straws, plastic bags, but what about tampons?
Yeah.
Because half of the population are using them.
Yeah.
Of course, now there's like the reusable period underwear and the cups. I think it's great alternative and I highly encourage people to use them, but the reality is that it's not for everyone's lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's important to also have other options not perfect, but definitely better for the planet.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, I think, you know, for most women having those options too, there are times in my cycle where it makes sense to maybe use a cup, or in my lifestyle, because, you know, you need regular access to a washroom and cleaning the cup and so on. But if you're traveling, if you find yourself not at home, you know, there's a million times where that can be a challenge. So having just a diversity of options is so important.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I end these conversations by asking if you had to pick two or three pieces of advice for fellow women in business, what kind of knowledge would you impart on them? What kind of tips would you like to share with them?
Don't be scared. Don't be scared to start something, to build something from the ground up. It can be scary, of course, but trust yourself. Like, I feel like women in particular, we have the imposter syndrome a lot, where like, I've never built a business before, I don't know how to do it, so maybe I'm not good enough. No, like, you should go for it. Life is short. You never know when it's gonna end. You need to make sure that you follow your gut and that you wake up every day and you feel excited about what you're doing and that you see meaning and purpose in what you're doing, because work is such a huge part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that would be a number one advice. Mm-hmm. And for all of the moms out there building something, the guilt associated with working is real.
Yeah.
But at some point, I mean, you want to be the best mom, of course, but you also can't be perfect. Mm-hmm. And life is all about balancing, you know, all the different aspects of your life. But you cannot live in guilt. It's very hard. I know I'm saying it right now, and I personally live it a lot, that I feel guilty not spending enough time or mm-hmm. not doing enough activities with my son. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's all about balancing everything out and giving the best that you can. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all humans and we have some limitation of what we can offer and what we can do. So I think that would be my second advice, for sure.
I think these are fantastic piece of advice, and not being scared is so important. I think for a lot mm-hmm. of women, we kind of create obstacles for ourselves, even when we have these amazing business ideas. So just breaking free of that is already a big part of winning the game.
And I also want to say, go and ask for help, get mentors, talk to people with experience. Mm. This was a game changer for me. I have like 4 mentors. Always, I can pick up the line, call them, ask them for advice. This is so important.
Yeah. And I think also being vulnerable enough,
of course,
right, to ask for help is a big part of it for many women.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Roxane. It was a pleasure hearing more about Alea and your journey as an entrepreneur. Your brand is very inspiring. I can't wait to see where it goes next and what washrooms we will find it next. You are generous enough to offer a code for our listeners who would like to try the brand. So we will link to that in the show notes. And for anyone who's interested in seeing the company they work for, or the building they work at, carry your brand, that's also the kind of relationship that you're establishing. So they can find you on your website, on social media, I assume, mm-hmm. and contact you for more information.
Yes.
Thank you again, and best of luck with everything that's coming up for Alea.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for listening to the Brand is Female podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you to TD Women and Enterprise for their support of The Brand is Female. You've got it in you to succeed. Let TD help guide you. Visit thebrandisfemale.com to learn more.